This episode of Real Life Sci-Fi is brought to you by Epic Reads and the new sci-fi fantasy Heart of Iron by Ashley Poston.
New York Times bestselling author Victoria Schwab says Heart of Iron delivers a delightful cast and nonstop thrills. The pages flew by and I couldn't put it down.
Don't miss this epic adventure, perfect for fans of Six of Crows and Firefly.
Pick up Heart of Iron today. Available now wherever books and audiobooks are sold.
Do you do audiobooks?
I tried, but the one that I tried to listen to was too quiet, and I was cooking.
Feral Audio.
Everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is the show where we talk about podcasts.
The podcasts that are out there, we talk about.
You've heard them all, right? This is a show where we talk about conspiracy theories, paranormal, all that junk. Willie believes everything. I don't believe anything. And our special guest today is Devin.
Howdy.
How's it going, man?
It's good. It's good. To be here with y'all.
Yeah, you just fucking got into town. Just got out the airport.
Mm-hmm.
How was your ride?
It was good. It was in a pretty primitive plane, Allegiant Airlines.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it reminded me of the planes I flew in Nepal. It's super ghetto, rickety, but it got me here. So
I'm pretty sure Allegiant Airlines just kicked a kid off of the plane because he was allergic to a dog that was on the plane, and everybody clapped when they kicked him off. Pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah, I just read that today.
Oh, my God.
So, Washington, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that born and raised? Or?
Yeah, born and raised in Washington. It's a good spot.
Are you into... all right, so we're going to kind of, like, take your temperature on this stuff. Are you into... Are you into, like, paranormal sci-fi type junk?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right, do you believe in ghosts?
Mm-hmm.
You do? Do you have any ghost stories?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You're talking like, you sound like you have a bunch of ghost stories.
There's some ghost stories I've got stored away, yeah.
Do you have a good one that you could tell us?
There is a pretty cool ghost story I have. When I think I was about 19 or 18 years old, me and one of my good friends were going to this music festival called Shakedown that was outside of Portland. And it got shut down from just lack of organizational skills or something. Just the producers of it couldn't pull it together.
Mm.
So everyone called it Shutdown Festival, and we ended up going to this college called Lewis and Clark College outside, or right in southern Portland. And it was the freshman initiation, and we were like just about freshman age, so we just kind of hung out with all the freshman kids because we had met some people who were going to the festival.
Right.
And they let us stay at their dorm room. And it was a great time, man. All the freshmen, we were just acting like we were going to go to school there and like smiling at all the babes and just fucking eating the sloppy joes and doing all that jazz. But So I go to bed before everyone else because I was super just exhausted. And I started going to sleep. And before I fell asleep, this lady, like this girl who was made out of blue light, came up to me and she like whispered in my ears and said, "Devin." And I was like, "Oh shit, what are you doing here?" And she said, "Suicide." And I got super creeped out. And,
when you heard this ghost whispering in your ear, could you feel the breath or was it?
Yeah, I totally could. And I think that has something to do with it, because when you're phasing in and out of like the dimensions of our multidimensional self, you can actually attuned to the level of that being is physical. Like, to a ghost, we're fucking ghosts, you know? Yeah, yeah. They're physical and, like, oh, in man. Their dimension.
You and Willie are going to get along so well. I'm not going to have anything to say during this podcast.
But, I mean, I'm open to the idea that I could just be making this shit up in my head, too, you know? It could be... There's all.
Yeah,
I
at this wanna... point, music festival days, what drugs were you into?
You know, I was just smoking herb and, you know, I was going to bed, so obviously I wasn't too high on fucking psychedelics or something, or else I would be up for...
My default skeptic response to that is that it's the sleep paralysis stage,
mm-hmm.
where you wake up and you see, like, a figure.
Yeah, but this is, I think there's more, there's, like... validation comes later if you research into shit, because there's one thing to have an experience, but if you research into shit afterwards and it like proves to have some kind of validity, then you can kind of put two and two together.
Yeah, what'd you
like,
find?
So well, first of all, when they said suicide to me, I got freaked out kind of, and intuitively just brought in an orb of light into the room. Like, just, I thought, okay, this will help something. And it was like the sun. And I visualized it and could feel it. And it was like a portal. And I was like, go through this thing. This will help you. But the portal ended up like burning the shit out of this blue girl. And her face turned all demonic. And she started like screaming super loud. And at that point, I just bailed and jerked awake and was like, holy fuck, guys. The guys who were living in the dorm room, I said, did you guys know this place is haunted? They're like, yeah, we've heard that before, like people in this place have told us that, or that's kind of a rumor in the place. And I looked up on the internet like in the next few days, just haunted Lewis and Clark College haunted, just on Google, and on this website called Oregon's Most Haunted Places. I guess in the 1970s, some girl had committed suicide in Alder Hall, and that was the exact hall I was sleeping in. And that, like, that's what she said. She said suicide. So instantly I was like, that's the girl. But shit like that, you know. I could be off, and it could be my mind, or it could be the collective story of people thinking that and like being like, it's haunted and haunted. And then that creates an experience with all of the like thought energy but it's a big question, you know, that was real to me, but I don't expect you to fucking believe me. You know?
Right. Yeah. Your ghost story is you dreamt about a ghost.
I want to,
wait, we're not done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Bigfoot, I haven't ever had any real, like, experiences with Bigfoot, but...
But do you believe he exists?
There's probably some Bigfoot creatures out there, definitely.
All right. Aliens?
Definitely.
Like, that aliens are here?
I wouldn't, like, put it past them. There's so many different kinds of, like... intelligent beings. There's, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some master beings that could manifest themselves into this dimension, or because if you're saying alien, what do you mean when you say alien?
Well, okay, by aliens I mean space travelers, not interdimensional beings.
Yeah, not interdimensional beings that are here, but just other beings in our dimension from another,
like physical,
yeah,
aliens.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I would imagine they're here.
Okay. It didn't matter what I said then. You would have said yes either way.
Yeah.
And then obviously you believe in like interdimensional type Definitely. Stuff.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done DMT?
I smoked DMT a bit. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have any experiences with that beyond a normal high?
I never had as much, like, contact with entities or kind of... I had some intense, like, fear come up and definitely some, like, really powerful, like, altering your consciousness experiences. But not as much like meeting of entities. With
which
that.
One? Which one is that? That's where they like melt a horse's brain and then you inject it or something.
No. This is I think the most pure form is ayahuasca. It's just some plant in the jungle that like shaman use and stuff. But like you can smoke it or ingest it. But your brain produces it. It's a hallucinogenic that your brain naturally produces when you're doing REM sleep or when you're about to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've taken ayahuasca too, a few times and smoked DMT. But I guess one of the hardcore ones is like 5-3-MeO-DMT or 5-MeO-DMT.
I don't know the specifics. It's which like, is, I'm afraid of. I can't do drugs anymore because I can do weed. I can do weed for days and
yeah, dog.
I
fucking
love it. I think it's a great experience. Still, like, I try not to smoke too much so that I don't ever build up my
tolerance.
Yeah, so you can really fucking enjoy it.
So at most, I smoke once a week. Because like when I was smoking every day, man, my tolerance was fucking. It wasn't even worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask you this. You mentioned, because what I mostly want to talk about is astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned earlier the multidimensional self. How aware of you of your different multidimensional selves? We've never talked about this, Wade, but basically that...
Wait, let's get a little background first. What do you do for a living?
Basically, I just, you know, scrap by using my intelligence, my fucking unstoppable. No, man, I got it. I got a spot. All I got right. A dope spot. I got a hella dope spot. I don't have a bed, but I got a fucking blue foam roll.
Well, you can take one of his air mattresses when you leave.
It would probably cost more to fucking take it on Allegiant Airline than to just buy a new one. They charge you like
so much. Sound like a nickel and dime.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened to our shit?
Well, everything got super cheap. No, listen, everything got super cheap. You can get a plane ticket for like $100. Of course they're going to be like $15 to take your bag.
But that $100 is just paying for gas.
Listen, I would love for them to just put it in the price of the ticket, and then I wouldn't have to worry about shit. I would still buy the ticket. But that's why, because they're like, oh, we have to like match prices, we have to make it look like this is cheap. You know, also, they're like not run well.
At any rate, so you, where are we going?
No, I think I'm good. He's a homeless man who believes in multi-dimensions. And, so I think we've laid the bedrock.
What's your favorite job you've had in the past 3 years-ish, whatever?
I fucking had a hot dog cart for a while. I got that shit shut down by the health department.
What was the main reason?
Smoking cigarettes while I was serving people hot dogs. I think too many little the who wind just
cares?
Like
you're the
wind
fucking hot dogs. Who cared? Did somebody complain?
I'm sure
somebody
the ash
a hot dog be like fuck this guy.
Totally, it was American Spirit cigarette, dude. The ash from it would help purify the fucking hot dog when you eat that shit. It's like they use ashes to like clear people's intestines and shit and clear your liver if
was
you get
this
alcohol
an organic
poisoning.
Hot dog stand.
No. Okay. We just got the bar fives or the bar, like the cheap ones.
Right.
I think it's funny to me that hot dogs exist, A. And B, like, yeah, they're so cheap. And, like, nobody gives a fuck. You know? Yeah, there's people that are health conscious, whatever. But it's just like, oh, there's this company that put all the meats together and squeezed them all out into some thing that you can just heat up. And it's like, I'm going to eat that.
Well, the weirdest thing is you can eat them raw, right? But are they pre? They must be pre-cooked.
Most of them are pre-cooked, and you can't eat them raw. It's like they cook it, put it, and then you just heat it up. So it's an easy meal. It's just funny to me that like
I don't know, man. I don't. Hot dogs are fine. I like them.
Yeah, I mean, I still will enjoy a good hot dog. I just don't like them when there's not cheese or mustard. That's all. I can have cheese or mustard, but I have to have one of the two.
Or eggs, right?
Well, my diet, I'm only happy if I get either cheese or eggs in every meal. It could be either one. So I can eat Chinese food because they have, like, fried rice with egg.
Mm-hmm.
But if I get neither cheese nor egg, like, I just don't feel like I ate. And I'm not happy at all.
You're going to pass so many kidney stones.
I don't know, man. What's funny about kidney stones is they can't even... If you look at the history of kidney stones...
You think this is a
they're all bullshit. No, like originally it was like, oh, this is made out of calcium. You're eating too much calcium. And then later on they're like, oh, you're not getting enough calcium, so your body's producing calcium, so that's why you have a kidney stone. Like, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. No, nobody knows shit. They act like they do. There's an accepted science that everyone can agree to, but that could change. It can flip 100%. Oh, you ate too much. Oh, you didn't eat enough calcium. That's what happened. Then everyone else is like, okay, we trust you. We believe you.
You're the only person in the world who can get passionate about kidney stones. I tell you to drink water, but there's too much fluoride in it.
Oh, my God, dude. I went to the store today, and they didn't have a fluoride-free toothpaste. Maybe they were out of it, but I was fucking...
Well, you don't eat the toothpaste, Willie.
But your skin cells and your...
Do you know about this?
How are you about fluoride? What's your thoughts on fluoride?
Well, tell the listeners what you're talking about.
Well, let's just see where Devin stands first.
You know, I've researched into this a bit, and it makes sense. Like, it's a fucking toxin. It's like a neurotoxin or some shit, and I've heard that some of the fluoride they put in the water supply is like a byproduct of other bullshit, like out of
smokestacks.
I've heard that in China and shit, like they just like, oh, let's put this in there because it shuts down people's pineal glands and it keeps our spiritual vision shut down.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, you guys read the same website,
homie. You've been drinking too much fluoride.
I don't even know that your dreams can be reality.
Once you guys can, like, float, then I'll be like, oh, maybe I should cut back on the fluoride somehow.
It's funny, you know. I keep thinking I'm going to end up with cancer. Of course, I'm eating all the same bullshit that everyone else is. But I cut down on my fluoride intake. Not that that's what's causing it, but it's like, anything mass produced is what's giving us. It's like we can't
100%.
Even.
Yeah, I mean that's yeah. I don't think anyone will argue with that. That's like yeah.
Well, it's like what the fuck, dude? It's like water is this perfect thing. It's like, why put some shit in it? Be like, oh, we need to put fluoride in it.
Whether you believe in the pineal gland bullshit or not, like I 100% do. But take that away, and it's still big companies making money off of their fucking waste that they're not instead of paying to dispose of their toxic waste, they are charging us for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
I should have known. I shouldn't have said the word fluoride in this room.
Fluoride is the biggest, man.
Yeah, we've all heard it, though. We've heard it.
Yeah, yeah. So how... When you were growing up, do you know if they fluoridated the water?
What? We're still on this? I thought you were going
to
move on.
Oh, no. I just want to get to... I'm trying to go somewhere else with it.
All right.
They didn't. They didn't fluoridize the shit in Spokane,
like,
I remember
my
that.
Personal take on it is, okay, so, like, you... I want to get an astral projection. So you can astral project? I'll get more specific into it. But my thing is that, like... The reason why you've had these experiences, the reason why this is available to you is because you weren't closed off from that because you didn't grow up with fluoride in your water.
That's a theory, but I mean, there's people all over the fucking world that do astral
I mean, it's almost like a muscle, and like if you use it, it'll work. But if you don't use it and you take fluoride in, you're just keeping yourself from that.
Yeah.
All right. So what are your experiences with astral projection?
Well,
if you can sum it up, or have you had a lot? Can you decide where you're going? Or,
well, it's kind of been like an unfolding of shit over the years. But I remember some of my first dreams I really remember vividly were lucid dreams, and I think like astral projection and lucid dreaming are very tied together, because your main form of experience in those states for me is sensation. Like, whether you're in a lucid dream or astral projecting, your whole world is defined by sensations. And there's not as much thoughts for me, like in those states where you're consciously outside of this dimension. And so it feels like very physical and feels very like real. But when I was a kid, I had a lot of lucid dreams, and they were fucking awesome. And
when you realize you're in a lucid dream, most experiences, what's the first thing you do?
Either fly or have sexual relations with an alien or vegetable.
With an alien?
No. I was just goofing around, but with anything, really. Like,
God, I wish that were true.
But, yeah, it's exciting feeling to be, you know, in a fucking other dimension consciously.
Let me ask you this. When you're having sex during a lucid dream, don't you... Because you're conscious that you're lucid dreaming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, do you come? And if so, don't you? I would be like, I don't just want to come in my bed and I don't want to have to clean that up. So,
yeah, but it's like just as real that you're actually there where you're at, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna wake up and have to fucking grab some tissues and clean this jizz off my freaking pink awesome fucking pajamas, but. That are made out of silk, and I don't wash my clothes that much, so there's going to be a jizz stain on them for like 3 months. But other than that, you know, you're in that other world too. And and that's cool too. But that's only if you're just we're focusing on the reptilian fucking sex fucking stuff here. You know, like dicks have caused a lot of problems in the history of the world. Like, there's many places you could take this. It's great. You know, it's great to have astral sex. Come on, dude. It's fucking rad.
No,
but
I
it's
know.
Also just, rad to like travel into
I just hate doing
the void
laundry,
and
you know. I hate doing laundry more than I like coming.
I feel you.
Have you ever chosen to go anywhere?
Mm. And that is part of like a development of like time after time, the experience evolving and changing. And because I used to always fly when I would have a lucid dream. Starting when I was a kid, like, I'd just be like, yeah, I can fly. And that was, you know, you can have sex in this world, or you can whack off, like, but you can't fly in this world. So it's kind of like the most gravity is to, like, I want to fly. I want to do shit that I can't do. I want to go check out another world. I want
to
go.
Yeah. Have you been to, like, that's what I'm getting at. Like, where have you gone outside of this world, outside of this dimension? Have you?
So I've been to the moon a few times just to check it out. It's close. You can just go there. When you fly for a long time, I would either turn into a hawk or you can fly around and guide shit. But as I kept on doing this over the years, there's another like level to shit that's going on. I think there's people kind of, or a different part of ourself guiding shit. So after a while I couldn't fly. Like I would try to fly and then I'd just get sucked into a wind. And it was like this terrifying sensation. And then that would wake me up. But if I was like, okay, I'm going to start to relax when the wind, because the wind wouldn't go away. At a certain point, it was like, fuck, every time I try to fly, this wind takes me. And I've just been trying to, you know, to relax into the wind. And the more you can relax into that, the more it turns into a wormhole. And it feels like every single atom in your spiritual like body, whatever essence you are, traveling outside of your physical body, it's the weirdest sensations I've ever experienced. It's literally like traveling through a black hole or a wormhole or a stargate or something. It feels like all of your shit's turning inside out. Like there's no sensation I've ever experienced that's anything like that's like that. You can't say that. It's like you're doing something that doesn't happen in the physical realm, at least that I haven't experienced. I don't know if that's true for everyone, but it's just, you're going through some freaking portals.
Have you ever...
Wait, hang on. So when you travel, we're still talking about lucid dreaming, right?
Or astral projection.
Are they the same thing?
I think they take you to the same place. Because in an astral projection or an out-of-body experience, like, I've had some where when I go to bed, I'm laying down just like trying to fall asleep, and then hands, I feel physically hands underneath my back and they lift me out of my body, and then I go on a journey. And then I've had I'm in a lucid dream, and then you jump through a portal. You jump through, like, you can put your hands through something and feel like it's a portal, but I think that can be jumping you into a different dimension that's more of an out-of-body dimension. There might be little slight different membranes of the onion that are going on. Sure.
But in your opinion, like, when you went to the moon, did you go to the moon? Like, I think it the moon?
There was some weird vibes on the moon, like, of something was there, you know, like something real was there. And I've had other experiences where I thought there was like high level technology on the moon, just being able to feel like radiation coming from the moon. Like,
did you see any kind of structures at all?
I actually couldn't see it physically, like with my lucid dreaming body, with my eyes, I couldn't see it, but I could mentally see it around, like this little bend and dip in this kind of mountainous thing. There was some kind of thing emitting weird vibes, and it felt like some kind of really sciencey, but they pull with, like, in the realms of polarity, they felt like no one I wanted to go chill with. I was like, fuck these guys. I'm just going to, like, run around on the moon for a while and steer clear of that.
I was trying to bust one of Willie's theories.
Yeah, this sounds awesome.
Or at least the astral projection theory. One of them would have been busted.
Have you ever encountered beings, whether you were astral projecting or... what's the sleep thing called?
Lucid dreaming.
Lucid dreaming. And which one, and what was your experience? If so.
Well, it's kind of, you know, like, over the years, at one point I went on a crazy journey and had to travel through all of these realms of my multidimensional self, culminating
astral or lucid.
This was an out of body experience. But this one, I traveled through many different. It was almost like tests, like whatever guardian beings or part of my higher self that was like seeing, are you ready to see this shit? Are you really ready to go into these places? Like, because if not, you're just going to wake up or you're going to hit a block here. And I kept working through the shit, and it culminated in merging with my higher self and being in a total state of eternity. And my two spirit guides were in front of me that I've known. When I looked at them and was in their presence, I know them better than any being I've ever met. Like, and that's not something, you know, if I'm making it up, it's the realest shit ever, because I've known people, you know, I've known my mom since I was a fucking baby. Like, these beings that I came into contact with, I know them better than I know anyone or anything. Like, I fucking know them inside and out. Like, we are the same being. Like in that eternal realm of my higher self, these three beings, me being one of them, were like a group entity that's like, you know, your fingers on a hand. Or
this is awesome, because I wanted to ask about spirit guides or whatever, but mostly this, I want to know what you think existence is for us.
What existence is?
Like, do you like this human experience? Do you believe in reincarnation? Do you think that this is? It doesn't need to be the like. Just what do you think? What do you think's going on in your life right now?
Well, that shit changes.
Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I want to tell you about a friend of mine who cannot. Yeah,
he can heal the sick. He can.
He has this place that you want to go to.
Listen, what if I told you you could get a short stack of pancakes at any time, and they would be the most delicious you've ever had?
I'd be like, fuck yeah, I hope they use real maple syrup and no fucking weird aluminum realest shit in it.
It's straight from Canada.
But, like, Jesus? Yeah, that fucker's real too, man. Like, all these fools are real within whatever vibration you tune in, or another entity being like, oh, you're comfortable with this being, so I'm going to use its appearance to communicate with you. Yeah, like, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter what...
Contact.
Yeah, it's like the information coming through is the more important thing here. It's not like, oh, I fucking saw Jesus, or, oh, I saw my spirit guides. It's like, oh, the information that I just received and felt and rings true to me is going to help me expand the way that I view the world and be more fucking, like, boss.
But what do you think, though? What's your take on all this shit?
All this shit, it changes. Like, if I'm really fucking vibrating in a state of, like, badassery and awesomeness, I think that I'm an eternal motherfucker.
Like, when you were, like, killing it with the hot dogs.
Yeah, killing it with the hot dogs.
So, hot dog a minute. They're, like, flying off.
Just, yeah, but then another time, if I think I'm dying or something and all my fear comes up, or then it's like, when the health department, I don't know. Or the health department shuts down and I'm just have a huge sad face and I'm like, how am I going to pay for my fucking, like, Tostitos and all this?
Did you sell the hot dog cart then? Or, like, no. What happened to the cart?
We were just renting it.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Go back into the...
But it's like, you know, we're always changing and evolving and all this shit. It's all there. And
I guess here's what my fear is. My fear is, because I believe that we are our soul, that's our existence, and that we're having a human experience, we're disconnecting from the source so that we can learn some to try to grow more spiritually, and it's too bad humanity has gone everything from spirituality, and I don't mean religion, you know, but I mean like honest spirituality and what you believe the universe is and how to connect to the information that is important for us to exist. We've disconnected from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are, these spiritual beings trying to have a human experience, but humanity has gotten to such a point that it's almost not worth it anymore because we aren't growing spiritual. What, just suffering? Is suffering just enough? And I don't think so. But I'm afraid that that spiritual realm isn't eternal, and I don't, you know, I'm just afraid of ending. I'm afraid of dying. All of my fears, I have anxiety. All my fears of dying and ending. And I know that, like, oh, well, within the laws of physics, that energy is never lost. It's just transferred. And so, like, I believe that can help describe this energy of the soul and you leaving your human experience. But like, I'm just like, okay, well, what if we are souls and then we get sucked into a black hole? What then?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just, I feel like my whole life is trying to explain things so that I'm not as afraid.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, it's fucking, there's so much going on. There's so many thoughts we can have about things.
And I know I'm wrong about everything, you know? I can accept that I could be wrong about everything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm one of the smartest motherfuckers I know, and I could be wrong about everything. I just think most people aren't thinking about everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important to, like, a lot of the things worrying about, like, whether we're just cease to exist or if we're eternal or whatever we're, like, worrying about or having anxiety about, like, if we're getting anxiety about shit, it's probably not, like, increasing our, like, enrichment of life while we're here about shit that we can't change.
What's fundamentally wrong with your theory, Willie, is you think that we're these other beings who are here to have a human experience, but you're fighting against the human experience the whole time. You're going, like, all I want to do is, like, believe that there's something else. And
now I question that too, but then I think about this. Okay, when I think about past technologically advanced civilizations, and let's say that they were a little more connected to the spiritual realm, and, like, oh, they were connected to the universe, and, like, you hear about cycles of if an ancient civilization has a calendar that's based on the precession of the equinox, that to me says that they didn't observe this just by watching the time go by, is that they were a part of time and that they were a part of this experience. This is the wobble of the equinox and the and because like I believe that the Mayan count the big calendar, they had tons of calendars, but the main calendar that they had, it was in relation to, you know, all these Bakhtuns. It was basically just the procession of the equinox, and it's like,
yeah, so what?
There's no ending there.
So you to believe that. Those people lived forever or something?
I mean, no, but it makes me say like
we die, and then you get to go back to your.
But the, but like your like weird their whole thing to me, the their whole existence life. Was based on cycles.
So was ours.
Calendars, cycles, but like to me that's. That can fall in line with reincarnation or experiencing again or whatever. But what I'm saying is that I feel like they were more human than we were because they could connect to the universe. And I say that because they took that, and I could be wrong about all this.
I mean, that's just you being cynical.
I think that's being very positive that it's possible for us to as a society.
Well, how do you know we're not? How do you know we're not at the apex of that?
Oh, we're the biggest idiots in the world right now.
Yeah, because we you're cynical.
We can't even talk to. When I think about my experience growing up, we didn't even talk about love within the family. It's like, how can you say this is the apex of civilization when we can't even talk about how we feel? That's not in a normal.
Because that's
you your, cry about something, you're gay.
Because that's one family out of a fucking.
But like but like most guys of today, I would say 99% of the guys today in the world right now, 99%. I mean,
I think you're
happy. Are happy suppressing a cry. That they feel more comfortable suppressing a cry of emotion than to just cry in front of anybody.
That's been true for me. Like, I think there's a lot of truth in that.
And to me, that's like denying humanity.
I remember one of my first memories is getting stung by a bee, and my dad telling me, "Don't cry." And I was fucking crying because it hurt. And I was like, ah! My dad was like, don't cry. And I think there's a lot to be said about this shit. Like, if you have a baby who just starts crying, it's, you know, having some distress about the world. And if you let it keep crying while giving it, like, loving attention, it will cry and then it will be cleared out. Like an animal. If an animal gets scared, it will shake and do whatever it has to do, and then it'll be fine. Even if it gets chased by a fucking tiger and is about to die, it gets away, and then it goes off by itself and shakes, and like, and then it's like, okay, it doesn't walk around with post-traumatic stress disorder and shit, because it has a way to naturally cope with the fucking crazy shit of life. Humans, we're like, our parents are afraid to see us cry because it brings up all their fears of being bad parents. So they're like, hush, little baby, don't you cry. Let me jam this fucking, like, popsicle in your mouth or some shit to like stop you from fucking having this natural experience that allows you to like.
Here's a funny thing about babies that weirds me out in this same realm where I don't know the science behind it, but like babies are more comfortable in a state of shaking, right? So they have all these new machines that shake your baby, that keep them moving, whatever. Have you seen any of those? It's like a common thing. Like, oh, you know, you put your baby in a swing and you let him swing his whole life.
Well, I mean, it makes kind of sense because in the mom's fucking belly, it's filled with water and water's like sloshing and moving.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Around. But what I think it is that like, it's to me, it's comparable to a handheld DP, a handheld camera shot, where it's like, if the camera shot is moving, then it makes you focus on something. But if the camera shot is stagnant, then you look around. Mm-hmm. What's that? What's that? And so, like, from a baby's perspective, it's like, if the baby's moving, then it has to focus on, like, okay, just, you know, I'm just trying to be. It allows them, it forces them so to cynical, focus on man. Something.
So cynical. Everything is nefarious to you. Everything has, like, a dark underbelly. He just said it. It's because they're used to being, like, sloshed around, like, moms move. They're used to
moving. But then as soon as they're still, they start crying. And to me, it's because then it's like fear sets into this baby. It was like, oh, something's, oh my God, what's happening? It's like there's a certain age where...
What baby
where
are you talking about that is cries when it's still?
They make machines that just move babies around.
Yeah,
now.
To get them to fall asleep.
But I'm saying that what if you hold still, that baby gets a fear inside of it. There's a certain age where babies start crying really hard when the lights are off because it's like they start to realize that they are alone. It's not because like, oh, mommy's not here. It's like, oh, fuck, it's just me. Like, I'm fucking scared.
This is like such a realm that you're not educated enough to talk about. There's so much baby psychology out there that like everything you're saying is just like off the top of your head. And what does it have to do with aliens, man? Like, this is like the craziest shit you've ever brought up is your theories on how to fucking make a baby not cry. Like, what are we talking about?
Well,
it's crazy to me that you have theories on this. You're that cynical that you don't even believe that like rocking a baby is a good thing. That's crazy.
I was getting some fucking gems in that, man. I was like, I want to hear where he's going with this, honestly.
Well, fucking
I think there could
subscribe.
Be some shit.
Go on iTunes and fucking you can hear it every week.
I just think that this baby shake society that we're in
is fucking crazy.
I know. But it's a denial of humanity. I think that's
oh God.
That like hey man, let the baby
stoner.
Get scared. Let the baby get scared and
they
then
do let them get scared. That's haven't you heard the whole theory of like let them cry themselves to sleep? Because yeah, you turn the lights off, they do realize they're alone. You let them cry themselves to sleep. Nobody's going, don't cry, fucking we'll shake you a bunch. Fucking what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. It's crazy.
I would like to have a baby one day, but I don't think I should.
Not if you're going to shake it. Oh, you wouldn't shake it.
It's the cradle shake, not the heavy shake.
No, I know what you mean.
Okay. Aside from, forget about everything I said. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had contact or a conversation or, because you talked about like knowing your spirit guides. Did you talk to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, before you get into that, are your spirit guides here? Like, what's the point of a spirit guide? Are they the ones that are like, because my sister is into some of this stuff and she went to a psychic once and she said, well, the psychic told her like, oh yeah, you have like these spirit guides. And it was like a fucking...
What was that?
I don't know what
it
was. Don't worry about it. But like her spirit guides were like... It was like the village people. It was like... One was like a Native American. One was like... I don't even fucking know. I mean, you know what the village people are.
Uh-huh.
But she had like three of them or something like that. Is that psychic full of shit? Or... And well, listen, that's an unfair question. I just mean, like, you know these... I'm trying to understand what a spirit guide is. They're here, right? And they're saying, like, what are they saying? Do they guide you? Or is it like, how does it work? Is it like when a loved one dies and then you go, like, someone's looking over me?
Well, the way that I kind of saw it when I merged with that part of myself and met those beings was that fundamentally every human being and possibly every fucking vegetable, every animal,
anything with life, everything is life. Like, do you believe a rock is alive?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, go on. No. I do too.
Welcome to crazy town.
Well, there, like, I really resonate with Dzogchen. Tibetan Buddhism, like, and also other forms of spirituality that point to the, like, inherently already eternal aspect of mind, like the already clear sky that the fucking clouds and storms pass through. And coming from that place, an aspect of our being is already, like, inherently Buddha mind. It's already fucking Christ consciousness. It's already like in harmony with the Tao. It's already in all the words from all the, it's in, you know, balance, and nature is abundant, and our atoms are spinning perfectly to keep everything in harmony with all of these black holes and kept, great central
sun. Can't help but notice you didn't mention Muhammad in there. And
Muhammad too, dude.
Okay.
That's a fucking gangster too. That's good. And these aspects,
and when you say gangster, you mean good guy.
Yes, dude. I'm from fucking, you know, Washington. I have to use these kind of this kind of lingo to be, like, credible where I'm from.
Is that what they say up there?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to derail you to get my Muhammad joke in there. We're going to draw a picture of him and put it on the website for this episode.
But when they told me, you know, and this, I've heard this before from other people, but they said we've always been with you, and we will always be with you. And every human has guides. Like, every human has a team of supporting presences around them. And maybe, you know, your role in life isn't to be in touch with that, maybe. Maybe your role is to be exactly what you're in touch with, like, being critical and, like,
so thinking. So that you can look down your nose at me?
So I can be more spiritual. Hey, your fucking physical dick might be bigger than mine, but my spiritual dick is way more hung than yours. Well, my spiritual dick is hunger than yours.
Tune with that part of my spirituality.
I don't know. Maybe even my fucking physical dick's bigger than yours. Not to bring it to that, but maybe actually you're the humble spirit dick. You have the, you're like, you'd give fucking hella money to some homeless person because you could see their aura and, like, know they need some help. And you're just acting like you're fucking, like, you don't know this shit. That's what's happening. I think you actually are the most spiritual. You're trying to open people to the fucking deeper truths of the universe by being skeptical. And you have a hung ass, I can use my spirit vision and see your dick right now. It's fucking massive, dude. It is massive.
Please don't look at my dick.
I am fucking proud of you. You have a very powerful, your spirit guides are powerful.
You don't.
Your spirit guides are powerful.
You don't have that power. You're just trying to disarm me. I want to ask you this, though. Could you, when you saw your spirit guide, when you met your spirit guides, were they people? What did they look like?
They were, like, extremely radiant, like, light.
Oh, I thought you were going to say racist forms. For a second.
They were
extremely racist Nazis.
So they were, like, light?
They were like bright, bright, like, there was one on the left, one on the right. I came down, like, to the whole fucking journey to, like, get to know them was fucking insane. But when I met them, it was just, like, the best feeling, dude. And it fucking, it stuck with me till now.
And is it just a one-time thing? Or can you go back and, like,
see? No, I just chilled with them the other night. Like, and that took me to a timeless place. But within the whole hologram, there's an initiation. It's like that, we're already fucking enlightened. We're already there. Like, part of ourself is totally there. Like, yeah, you can connect with that.
Willie, man.
But let me ask you this, though. Do you think that, okay, so, like, you have met your spirit guides. Were you supposed to? Are we all supposed to? Or is it just a random thing and you can go on from there? Or, and I know that there is no supposed to anything, but I'm just saying, though, that, like, do you feel like your life is better because you met them and that everyone should meet theirs? Or do you feel like that was an accident that shouldn't have happened? That they're supposed to guide you and you're supposed to go through this life and you're not supposed to meet them, but you were so in tune with this that you did meet them, and it's like, oh yeah, it's a remembrance of who you are outside of your human brain.
I think that's a really good question. And I think that I had that experience because I'd been, like, looking for it and praying a shitload. I was in a, like, initiated ghetto shamanism, fucking eating shrooms for over 200 days straight, like, praying for the fucking well-being of the planet and Mother Earth to be healed and healthy and strong. And I was fucking, like, dedicating, like, every waking hour to fucking sending prayers out and sending prayers inside of myself and playing music and fucking praying, like really, really praying as best as I could. I've never been taught how to fucking pray. I've never like gone to any schools or shit like that, like to be a preacher or some shit, but I was praying the best I could. And, you know, I fucking see the beauty in the forest. I see the beauty in the earth. I see the beauty in the fucking ocean and the lakes and all the shit. And a part of me naturally is just bummed when we're killing it. So at this point in my life, I was like eating shrooms, really connecting into that beauty and sending out like my intention that we be more in tune with this humanity, fucking not fucking destroy this planet. So all of everyone's grandkids that they love so much, like, oh, my grandkids, posting all these pictures of their grandkids on Facebook can get the fucking picture. Like, we have to change the world if you want your grandkids to fucking have a world that's not going to just be full of fucking,
it's not gonna
like,
accidentally get better from now.
Yeah. So I was like really on that kick.
Consciously make better choices.
But whatever. Then how would we buy politicians? You know?
Maybe like, we just like give them so much fucking multidimensional love, which is the gold of the fucking universe.
Because like, listen to this. Like, I've thought about this before where it's like, and the last thing I want to do is bring harm or negativity, even though I know I do, whatever. I've had thoughts of like, well, what if I did kill all the bad? Like, who am I to say who's right and wrong? But like,
that's the first question: who's right and wrong? Who's the bad? How are you gonna?
Because if let's just say hypothetically, I'm not actually thinking about this stuff. This is a hypothetical conversation.
This is a call to action to all of our listeners.
And I don't think that there's blame to be had, but let's just say that okay, I disagree with fluoride. What if I killed everyone that was in charge of allowing fluoride to be added to our water supply? And now I know that's not a specific list. This is all hypothetical. But would that be enough for? I know it wouldn't be.
Before we came in here, we were watching Seinfeld, and one of the trailers was for London Has Fallen. London Has Fallen, the sequel to Olympus Has Fallen. And the line that he said in it. Because he's like, they're trying to kill the president, I guess? I don't know. Do you know? All right. They're trying to kill the president in London this time? I don't know. They tried to kill the president in the White House. Now they're trying to kill him in London? Maybe? But anyway, the line was, it was like, fuck, now I'm going to forget it. But it was the main guy, Gerard Depardieu, or whoever the fuck, not him, goes, you don't understand. You can... We're not one man. We're going to be around for 1,000 years. And that's what's going to happen. Like, if you try to take down whoever's in charge of, like, if you kill all of the people who are doing this fluoride thing, however that breaks down.
Yeah. Which is not.
Then there's just, like, the next guy. And then the next
and,
guy.
And I agree with that. And my thing is this, is that like, I guess what I'm, when I say things like this, I'm,
also,
I'm trying
London
to.
Also, London Has Fallen in theaters now.
I'm trying to think like, it's not that I'm actually contemplating killing anybody, because that's the last thing I would ever want to do, even if.
No, I understand what you're saying. You're trying to cut the head off of the snake or whatever.
I guess what I'm saying is. Is there such thing as people dying and then people reacting to that in a positive way? I only say that because I'm trying to put my mind into another person's mind that is radical, that can, you know, any sort of extremist, whatever, where it's like, oh, when I kill someone, they're going to listen, because I don't feel like anybody's listening no matter who dies, no matter what happens. And I don't want that to be an answer, because we also don't value life as much.
Just talking about terrorism. I mean, what do you think the 9/11 bombers were thinking? They're thinking like, let's take down this symbol of like capitalism, and then people will start to understand, right? And then we were like, "Ah, fuck you." Well, I guess now we're gonna fuck up your country, bitch.
I guess what I'm trying to say with all this fucking weird tangent is that, like, I don't feel like we value human life enough for any of those things to matter. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you feel like killing someone's gonna make anybody think twice, I don't think it is.
Yeah, but you think that this is just a video game that we're all playing, and that when we get done with this, we're gonna laugh and be like,
"Let's go." I don't believe that. I hope that.
Okay.
And I'm afraid that my hope is, I don't know, whatever. It's like I don't feel like anybody has the answers, and I don't think that I'll find them. But I am on a quest to find out more. And I don't know if, but part of me says this, what if.
But these answers, you can't find them out because they're not tangible. Like there aren't any answers.
You have an answer for him. You found an answer. Like, you are giving an answer to his
telling fucking him thing. That he can't find the answer?
Yeah, that's your fucking answer. Like, why can't someone else find an answer within themselves that is just as real as the answer you just gave? Like, if everything is like this, like your own experience.
No,
like,
I mean, that's a great answer. That's a great answer to my question, which I was seeking an answer for.
It's like,
so
there, we got this fucking world here that we're in, you know, we're collectively sharing this shit. If I'm real, I think you're fucking real, unless I'm one of those dudes who's like, well, you're just a fucking hologram of my imagination. Fuck you. I think that's bullshit. I think they're on
when
some
you got level, on that plane, it never flew in. Anyway. it just stayed
there. Those people kind of piss me off sometimes.
They moved a bunch of clouds by the windows.
Like, we are all here co-creating this shit. Like,
that's a bigger fear that I have is this. Is it like...
Wait, hang on. What were you saying?
We're co-creating this... Like, here I am. I'm in your fucking, like, room. You've done how many shows? Like, this many shows? I've never been really aware of this, but it's a real thing. It's happening. And, like, to all the people who have listened to it, they have a life. They have a reality. All the people that have never heard of this shit, all the people all throughout time,
future and past. What's the point of that?
It's the point is you're fucking real, and what are you going to do to maximize your fucking learning, your experience, your... ability to tune into life, like what really
two-step program.
Yeah, but
get money, get pussy.
Get money, get pussy. Get money, get pussy. Reptilian, make a million coming through. Fuck. It's like I really resonate with the boundless mind states, and it's in a lot of different like religions and Buddhism, especially if you can tap into the vibration of gratitude, you're gonna fucking see the world from a more expanded perspective.
I saw this thing the other day that was pretty it was fun to watch. It was basically this, is that like, this guy's dying and he's gonna go inhabit another life form, you know, but like he's having a conversation with God, right?
What is this?
It's just a little animation that's just a perspective of what life could be.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. It just cracked me up when you said, like, oh, this guy's dying.
I know. I'm actually, like, it's funny to me because, like, I feel like I'm not good at sentences. And I love making them.
All right.
but basically, the whole gist of this thing was, here's a guy that just died, and he's having a conversation about another guy that just died. And he's like... Oh, well, that's you. You're going to go back and your next life is actually going to be in the Roman times, whatever. And the whole gist of it was like, oh, that's all you. That like everyone that you meet is you. You're going to go back in time. You're going to go forward in time. But everyone that you encounter within your lifetime, within every lifetime, is all you. And that, like, it was the most narcissistic. No, but it was just a perspective of like, oh, well, there's other people too, but your existence, everyone you encounter, is you in different stages.
So I could see that in the perspective of like all of your fucking cells or all the atoms in your body are the same organism, but still they're like fulfilling different functions when they're like doing their shit, like your heart cells.
And
are doing
basically,
shit,
the lesson of it was. By the time you experience everyone's lifetime, that's when you become a god, and then you can go run your own shit. Fuck. It was just great. It was just fun to watch. That's all.
God, no, that's not it. That sounds fucking exhausting. God damn. I wish I wouldn't have met you, because now I gotta fucking live your life too. Fuck. Like, if I, so that's like, so I should say hi to less people.
Well, to me, the lesson I took from it was, you know, treat others like you treat yourself, because that's you.
No, that's just like that dumb Jesus thing. Like, yeah. Anyone could be Jesus. Give a homeless guy $10, you fucking idiot.
Oh, fuck money. Even that teach a man to fish shit.
Tell a homeless guy to fuck money, and he'll do it for $20.
Teach a man to fish, and he'll eat forever.
Well, come on, that's a proverb.
I'm like, you know what? You can't fish in certain waters.
Oh, my God. You're so cynical. That's crazy. No,
dude, I really am. But in the best way, though. Like, I want it to be better. It's like, I'm not just cynical going like, this is wrong. I'm like, well, what can I do to change it? And I know most of it's perspective and fix myself.
All right, let's get to, like, anything more that you need from Devin, because...
Yeah, within the realm of everything we've talked about, like, what's something you want to add, or like you've obviously here's me asking you questions, and it's like, I love the perspective of the life that you've had. What am I missing that I wouldn't be able to ask about because I haven't experienced it through you? You know what I mean? Like, what?
200 days of shrooms. You need to do 200 days yeah. of shrooms.
Like, what?
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm just kidding. But, like, a lot of the drug shit and the chemicals and all of that, just since you brought up shrooms, honestly, the most powerful, like, life-altering kind of transformative experiences have just been brought on by grace, or if I can just, it just happened. Like,
my grandma, Grace, Grace, my grandma,
Grace, your mom, your grandma's name is Grace. Maybe she's one of your spirit guides. Maybe she's here, even if she is still alive.
Wait, can that happen? Don't I get all my spirit guides when I'm born?
Maybe you can add on. I don't fucking know the answers to this shit, but
okay.
this is a question for everybody. What's the best moment you've ever had? And that can be on any level, spiritual realm, a realization, an experience. Because I'll just lead with my favorite moments of my life are when I connect to somebody else, because then it takes away some of the fear, because I'm like, and it doesn't matter what we connect on, you know what I mean? Just like it could be, you know, there's these moments where that I have with people where I'm like, where it's basically that we can both cry about the same thing in front of each other, or that we both appreciate something so much that, like, I'm like, wow, we're both connecting. And it's mm-hmm. like, it's funny, because then it's like, let's say it's a drunk moment. Let's say we both had a fucking great smile about gratitude
so you
about
don't have,
life.
You don't have an answer.
To me, it's those moments where, like, when I feel like I'm connecting to someone else, because I don't feel like my whole life, I don't feel like I connected to my family.
You
I don't
want
feel
us
like
to do moments like. What do you want from us?
I just my favorite. Oh yeah, yeah, sure. Like what? What's your favorite thing in your brain? It could be a shared moment. It could be in your existence, and it doesn't have to be like, oh, you know, it could be like, oh, for some, I got a car, whatever. It's like, what's your favorite moment that you've experienced?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be on any level. It can be the first time you were on drugs, or, you know, whatever. But, like, a moment where you're like, I want this again. Or,
well, what's yours? You can't just, like, ask that.
No, that's what I was saying, though. Is my
No, but then you were giving, like, a bunch of abstracts.
But my favorite moment is any time I connect to somebody and I'm like, wow. Like,
but that's not one moment. That's not a favorite moment.
No, but I'm saying, like, it can be that general. But, like, that experience of connecting to somebody on a level that I'm like, wow, like, okay, the rest of the day might be weird because we had such a good moment that, like, I don't want to keep talking about, like, oh, that was great earlier, right? Like, oh, that was cool. But I also want to connect again, but it's also like, oh, here's another human. We're not dating. I can't go back in for more connection because it's like, oh, well, we had this moment and then now let's live our lives.
About? What are you talking about? Jesus Christ. What the fuck are you talking about? Connecting with people, right? That's it. Connecting with people. What are you talking about?
I guess I'm making it sound weird.
You're not
weird,
even asking a question. You just want to talk about what you think the best thing about life is.
No. Like, that's my favorite. That's my favorite thing in the world is anytime I connect to someone and have a moment that like I feel like where I actually feel love, I guess.
Okay.
That's my favorite moment. Like, what's yours?
Go ahead. You got one?
Yeah. You know, I fucking have a lot to just that resonates as true with that shit. Because it's not one moment. It's not, I can't say that was my favorite moment, but it's the common, not super common, but the repeated experience of like, oh my God, I'm so fucking confused. Oh my God, I'm so disconnected from life. Oh fuck, I don't know who the fuck I am. And then boom, the circumstances arrive and everything clicks into place and my heart fucking just blossoms like a fucking beautiful little rose. This opens up and fucking jizzes right in my eye socket. And I what, fucking feel
it in your eye socket.
Just feel love again. Where's, man, that's like the best feeling in
your anatomy is weird.
that is a great fucking experience. And like
love
the, it's kind of the remembrance of, you know, we're getting to know the ropes of living a human life. We're getting to know ourselves, and the more we do that, the more the field opens up and we're not like the victims of fucking these things that make us feel shitty or make us hate ourselves or think we're ugly or like, or feel powerless in the world. Like, we're getting to know the ropes, and the more we get to know the ropes and the more we like stick with it and be, you know, with the ropes and get to be with ourselves, we're like, shit, yeah, I can start to navigate these playing fields and learn to settle into a place that I can see the beauty in the world. It's a little, I mean, for me, it would be harder here in LA because I can't see like gigantic fucking huge mountains and
they're around.
Yeah. I haven't explored it enough, but you know, we get to see the ropes of what works for us. Like what works for you individually that inspires you and makes you feel, connected to life. And
right,
and maybe for you that is being really cynical, not cynical, he's cynical, but you're, what's the word, fucking skeptical. Like, you're hella skeptical, and maybe that makes you feel good inside and makes you feel like connected to life by being like, I don't fucking know about that, actually, no, that's bullshit. And when you feel that and you think that thought, you're like, yeah,
well,
I okay, love this shit.
Don't project onto me my favorite moment of life.
but just from my very small like interactions with you, you seem to really like to do that. So I'm just like using my own intelligence to perceive that you tend to like, well, like
kinda,
that.
You kind of is it my turn?
Yeah.
So yours is, I don't even know what either of yours are. Yours is connecting to people and yours is love, I guess. And I guess mine would be that they put fluoride in the water. So that my pineal gland doesn't have to think like your guys' brains think. Because it's like fucking hell talking to you. It's like a fucking nightmare. This is the fucking worst conversation. There's nothing to grasp onto tangentially. You're in the fucking clouds. You're in the fucking cosmos, and it's crazy. I think that does it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got anything to plug?
Nah.
Do you need to do a tweeter or anything
like anything
that?
Anything you want to plug? You
plug your butts, motherfuckers.
Yeah, plug them.
Stick something up that
plug
shit.
Up, dog.
Plug it up. Plug it up. Plug good, it up. Plug it up. Plug up that butt.
Out.
Use your thumb. Use a butt plug. Use a fucking carrot. Use a date. Use any plastic object to your left or your right. Use a drumstick. Use a small little fucking eating utensil. Use whatever you need. Look in your fridge. Look in your freezer. Look under your bed. Look in your drawers. Plug your butts, motherfuckers. What? I'm out.
Also, Fatal Decision on Verizon's Go 90 or College Humor. Thanks for listening. Hey, and thanks for being here, man. That was great. That was great.
Hell yeah.
Feral Audio.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff, I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you fuck.